It's all been in good fun or in good spirits. Nobody's out to, shake their finger because fans want what fans want, and they want a little Lucy in their life.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica, and today I'm having a really fun treat for me because we have three-time Emmy winner, entertainment journalist extraordinaire, really, for I've grown up watching you, but, I'm local here in LA. But for our purposes, really, it's I don't know if I know a bigger fan of I Love Lucy, All Things Lucy, because I do. You come across my timeline and just your memorabilia is something to be envious of. I love everything that you have. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be here to talk Lucy.
All things Lucy. I could do this all day, every day, really. But really, how did you first become a fan of Lucy?
I was a product of television from a very early age. I like to say that when I was 5 years old, my bedtime was 11 p.m. because I had, back in those days, afternoon kindergarten. So I didn't go to bed until 11. I woke up about 9. I got plenty of sleep, but I watched TV before I went to school.
Yeah.
And when I got home from school and I Love Lucy, it's always running somewhere in the world. So
yeah.
I watched those shows over and over and over again. And she made me laugh like she made most of America laugh.
Yeah.
So I just really grew up. And whenever I saw Lucy, whether she was on a game show or on I Love Lucy or in an old movie, I had to watch and see what
she captivates you. I mean, just coming across the screen, I get recommendations on YouTube because they know my algorithm that I come across the old Password or any other game show she's on. She's just always on. Always on.
She's on the cover or on the box for Body Language, the board game, because she loved playing games.
Yeah.
In backgammon, and of course, she played a lot.
Yeah, she was huge in the backgammon. And I think I did stalk your Instagram a little bit and I saw you had, you have all kinds of things, but like a 20-year-old Monopoly Lucy game.
I have two. What happens is, when you're a Lucy fan, people give you gifts thinking, oh, we've got to get this for George.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you get two of them or three of them.
Yeah.
But it's okay because sometimes you share the wealth with another Lucy fan.
I love that. Yeah. And did watching her growing up and seeing how she conducted herself in interviews. And I mean, she's of course different than who Lucy Ricardo was. Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll get into being the Ricardos, and how they portrayed her there. Did that at all shape the way you came into the entertainment industry? Did that do anything for you, the way you conducted your interviews or perhaps watched other people do interviews?
I think back in those days, entertainers of Lucy's kind of ilk were shown how to do interviews. All those older stars that were in the studio system were given lessons. And so they could talk to a reporter and answer something in 8 to 10 seconds or know how to deflect a question sometimes, which is kind of fun to play with when you're doing a real interview.
It's an art.
They just knew how to make an interview entertaining. That's lacking sometimes with today's stars, but those stars knew how to do it. So I always love speaking with what I call old Hollywood because you can't help but get a good interview.
The filter is sometimes off, right?
When you reach a certain age, the filter is gone and they don't care what they say. So
I
love all that. So I think what's great is when I would watch those people being interviewed, I think as a child, I would think to myself, what would I ask them?
Yeah.
Because I always wanted to be, I think, a reporter of some sort or a columnist or something in showbiz. And that just kind of helped pave the way because I was internally thinking about all these people I watched on TV every day. I mean, not many seven-year-olds could tell you, oh, there's Alan Ludden, or that's Martindale, or whoever the host was at the time of the game shows that happened before I went to school. So it's just a part of watching a lot of TV. I really knew what was on every half hour of every day on every channel, because on those days,
it was appointment watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure social media has perhaps changed the way you see celebrities now, because they used to be so, you know, hidden. We didn't know much about them. So really, that's probably why they're called stars, because they would shine as soon as you see them. Now we have so much access to them that, you know, the much older actor celebrities aren't very comfortable with that, perhaps, or don't, you know, aren't used to that. So you kind of see the dynamic from the old Hollywood, like you said, and, you know, the newer, younger generation.
But some of those younger generation stars love those older stars. So mm-hmm. I'm sometimes talking to somebody who might be in their 20s. Mm-hmm. They have spent their life like me when they were a kid reading about people and watching old movies with their mom or their dad. I used to sit down and watch movies all the time with my mom and ask her questions along the way because she liked certain actors. And I remember one actor she liked ended up on General Hospital. And that's why she started watching General Hospital, which she watched until the day she died. So, you know, I think when the younger stars coming up have an appreciation for their industry, get it more.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because, you know, we just had the 70th anniversary and we did a whole special episode on that. And I brought on some page holders who have I Love Lucy pages on Instagram, Facebook, things like that. And I was surprised when I saw them, because there's a young lady who's like 20, 19. How did you come across? I mean, I'm, you know, late 30s. I know how I came across Lucy. I'm wondering how you came across Lucy and, you know, that you're still showing everyone your age that love, you know, and it's everywhere. When it's good, it's good. I think
I will tell you that I this is not something that just happened. I liked her as a kid. Yeah. I read, she was always in those magazines that my mother was bringing home, those movie magazines and all of that. So I was reading about that. And then at one point I was reading one of those magazines, maybe it was a Rona Barrett Hollywood or something. And there was an ad where you could join the We Still Love Lucy fan club.
So you would write in
$5, and I joined as a, like, probably 12-11 year old, the We Still Love Lucy fan club. And when I was going through things recently, I found one of the newsletters. So this is a newsletter.
That is neat.
Mid-70s from We Still Love Lucy fan club. And it has, you know, mimeographs, you know, when they did that, if you can see, I'm showing on a TV screen, of pictures and articles from people who were in the group writing about Lucy. They'd have photographs that they would show that.
I love that.
From printing. And it wasn't very expensive. And people were just expressing their love for Lucy like today's kids do with BTS, right?
You know, the
BTS Army.
They find each other. Yeah.
So here's the roundabout weird story about how it's a small, small world. So here I am, this kid, and living at the time in Norwalk, California, and I'm reading my magazine, you know, every month when it came, excited to get mail, you know, as a kid. And I go to the last page as I was rereading this, and the last page of this newsletter was for the Thalians, which is a mental health charity.
Okay.
That we're going to be saluting Lucille Ball at their big gala. Now, years later, without ever knowing this, without seeing this for years, not knowing what the Thalians was, I ended up meeting Ruta Lee my third week in LA, like 26 years ago or something. And a friend of mine had said, if you ever meet Ruta Lee, tell her you know me. So I told Ruta, she adopted my wife and I. She invited us to the Thalian Ball. I ended up on the board of the Thalians for many years, helping put on this annual gala to raise money for mental health. And who would have known that years later, you know, 45 years later or something, I would open something up and see that the Thalians were connected to Lucy.
That is to the amazing.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And then Ruta Lee, who ran the Thalians with the late Debbie Reynolds, Ruta has done episodes of the Lucy show.
Okay.
Because I remember there's one time Lucy opens the door and says, Ruta Lee. And she said, a real movie star. Ruta told me that Lucy was tough, but good. Lucy told me she was a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. All the things that Ruta would tell me about Lucy, which all were filled with love, see, and being the Ricardos, by the way, you know, all those stories.
Yeah. And we'll get to that too, because there are so many thoughts on being the Ricardos. And what I've said since the very beginning, let's just get into it. When you first heard of the casting choice, because when you hear that a movie about Lucille Ball is being made, your mind goes immediately to who's going to play this, huge, larger than life person that's just, you know, hard to play, of course.
Erica, who would be too afraid to play her? You also think about.
Yeah.
That's a big risk to take.
It really is. It really is. I did see your interview with Nicole where she was hesitant because you're going to be scrutinized on a real life person that existed that is so beloved that everything will be, you know, picked apart. So I know that Kate Blanchett was first, assigned to the role. And when I first heard that, I was, you know, excited because I'd seen her in The Aviator and Katharine Hepburn. And so I just thought, you know, she'd bring kind of the same brassy, you know, woman against men type of portrayal. But what did you think when you first heard it was Nicole Kidman?
Well, I thought this is an Oscar winner that's going to take on a role. I knew that she was an Oscar winner who did her homework. So mm-hmm. I thought she's going to be okay. She was worried because she wanted like a nose. She wanted some appliances to make herself look more like Lucy, you know, some yeah. special makeup, all that stuff. And Aaron Sorkin, who wrote and directed it, told her, that's not what we're going for. I want you to have the essence of who Lucy was.
Yeah.
And so when she got that into her head and realized she was working for this man who wanted her essence, then the research really kicked into high gear and she found herself looking at all things that Lucy did and mm-hmm. how many times did she examine that grape scene. And, you know, Lucy yeah. stomps grapes and I Love Lucy, Nicole as Lucy stomps grapes and being the Ricardo. And if you put those images side by side, it's uncanny how close she got to making that face that Lucy made and yeah. the movements with the arms and the stomping with the feet. So I thought initially, I want to see what Nicole Kidman is going to do. I was never saying, oh no, not Nicole Kidman, because I think she's a great actress. Mm-hmm. And she's already getting now awards attention for her portrayal of Lucille Ball. And I think it helped that she wasn't playing Lucy Ricardo. She was playing the woman, Lucy Ricardo.
Yeah. And I think that's where immediately most of our minds went, because you think immediately Nicole's not known for funny. She's not known for skits, you know, or slapstick comedy or stomping of grapes, things like that. But do you feel having seen it, did you come away saying, oh my God, she became Lucille Ball? Or was it, that was a great attempt at it, but something was missing?
I didn't see anything missing, because no one ever is going to look exactly like someone they play. And we suspend our belief when we go into a theater and the lights go down and we start to watch. Mm-hmm. I thought she got the essence of Lucy down really well. Mm-hmm. And J.K. Simmons told me, who plays Fred Mertz or William Frawley, mm-hmm. he told me that they were like football players who studied the playbook. They all wanted to get certain things exactly or as close as they possibly could have gotten to those four real actors. Mm-hmm. And so they likened it to a playbook where they studied, they examined, they practiced, they got feedback, they got better. And so I think that's what we saw. The result of when you see J.K. Simmons pull up his pants as Fred
yeah.
Mertz,
yeah.
you saw J.K. William was Frawley doing
was great.
That. Right?
It was great. Yeah. And I think as I've been communicating with people who love Lucy and are part of all of this community, it's a huge community, really. You have two different audiences watching it. You have one that's an I Love Lucy fan who's watched, you know, I Love Lucy. It's funny and, oh, great, they're making a movie about her and don't care one way or the other. And then you have the other group. I think I'm more in this group where you know a little too much about, like, perhaps the timeline didn't all happen and why did they squish it into 5 days and everything just felt like there was tension in the movie and pick apart. She wasn't a blonde, she was a brunette, you know, all those things. Sure. And then maybe a little bit in the middle. So it's just fascinating to hear everyone's takeaway and the passion behind their opinions on this film.
So Aaron Sorkin told me that he spent more than a year deciding whether or not he was going to even make Being the Ricardos.
Yeah.
He kept getting information and reading and hearing from people, but didn't feel like he had a story. And then he met with Lucy Arnaz. Mm-hmm. Lucy Arnaz said to him, my mother was not an easy woman. Take off the gloves. You can show her as she was. And Lucy Arnaz basically gave Aaron the blessing to show Lucille Ball as a real woman. There was a famous line, which I hope I can say on your podcast, because I probably wouldn't say it on my TV show, that Lucille Ball was on a talk show. And it was after she had taken over Desilu Studios. And I don't know if it changed names at that point. And she said, after all that happened, she went from being Lucille Ball to Lucille Balls.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. She was at the helm of that and ran it with an iron fist. And I think she probably resented it a little bit because she didn't want to do that. It was Desi's thing. And, you know, unfortunately they couldn't make that work. So she had to take it over. And so in order, I think perhaps the perception of her being stern, a perfectionist, came across as, well, bitchy or you know, demanding, but that's what it was.
Or that she needed power or something, but she just liked, I think, a good product.
Yeah.
You know, she went to that Lucy well a few times with great success. The fourth time with Life with Lucy didn't work out so well, but you know, those other times, I still watch the Lucy show when I can find it. Mm-hmm. I have seen Here's Lucy, which I also liked. I love that she wanted her kids to be involved with her life. And as a busy woman, she brought them to the set and they had a taste of that. Neither one of them necessarily wants that full time, certainly. Right. But there was that moment with their mom. And that's also probably why they knew she was so tough on a set.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that ever waned. But all in the name of making us laugh.
And us absolutely. Happy. And all of those skits, for lack of a better word, or pratfalls or funny scenes were not happy accidents. She perfected every single second of that and knew what she wanted. I've seen behind the scenes where, you know, she's, you could tell when she becomes Lucille Ball and stops being Lucy Ricardo, and she's questioning, why is that lamp there? Why is the light as bright as it is? And just, you know, commanding a room. And I think that's probably why we admire who she is. Now, 2021 has been such a huge year for all things Lucy. What do you think of that resurgence all of a sudden? I don't want to say all of a sudden, she's always been here, but it just feels like we have podcasts, we have Turner Classic Movies did this huge thing.
Yes.
The documentary's coming up. This movie is huge, you know.
There aren't that many people in show business who have made the kind of impact that Lucille Ball did in her career. Mm-hmm. So I think that because the show at its height, you know, I think, was it 60 million people or something?
Yes.
Watched every week. Today, if you get 10 million, it's a big hit, right? Mm-hmm. So they had so many people watching and they were such a huge hit that generations have watched the show. So I think grandparents and parents have liked introducing I Love Lucy to their kids. Yeah. Their kids have now introduced I Love Lucy to their kids.
Yeah.
It's family entertainment. It's funny. It has me laughing, you know, the 25th time I've seen an episode. So I think that when you have somebody in show business who has had that kind of a grasp on culture, that somebody who has been that beloved, we still want to see it and we still want to share it. So I think that's why kids today still can look at this woman and giggle, because they never talk down to anybody on those shows. And maybe I think kids like that because they feel like a little more grown up when they're initially watching.
And not only that, the things that were, that came out of that, like reruns, the camera system, the things Desi Arnaz was, you know, pioneered from that show alone. It's mind-boggling to imagine if that hadn't occurred or that hadn't existed, what wouldn't have happened up until today on television shows.
I mean, but look at Bob Hope was another great entertainer. I think more people know the name Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe did much less than Lucy ever did in her career, but Marilyn has that icon status along with, say, James Dean or something. So
or Elvis,
two would have much than Elvis. Elvis had a longer career, but those other two just popped with America.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been licensed and, you know, all over from here to Kingdom Come, but so has Lucy too. So that's another reason we know. There are some other stars that disappeared because they don't have figures and stuff behind like you have and dolls and all of that. But I think that the family went ahead and said yes to a lot of that because it's all been in good fun or in good spirit. Nobody's out to, you know, shake their finger or anything. because fans want what fans want, and they want a little Lucy in their life.
And as a fan, and you have a lot of Lucy in your life, what is your favorite item you have of your memorabilia, really, that you have acquired?
Well, I do have one photo that's autographed that says "Love Lucy," and it's with Gail Gordon. I like having that. It hasn't made the TV rounds in my house yet during the pandemic. I have an old poster from Stone Pillow when she got very serious and played a home. Somebody that knew Lucy, or maybe it was from originally from Jane Withers or Ann Miller, but somebody delivered, I think she's about 4 feet tall, a Lucy doll that's in the garage, because there's really no place to put her in the house. But it's just something that's interesting that I didn't, I hadn't seen before. Yeah. So that's in the mix. And I think a couple of the pictures that I have, I've been told, in my house were actually taken from the walls of Desilu Studios once upon a time, or maybe was it Lucille Ball Productions at the time, but I bought them at an autograph show over 20 years ago for I think $100 or $75 each, and they're just both pictures that I don't see everywhere else, which I like having.
Yeah. And I think I had seen on your Facebook, you had once, you never met her, right?
You know, I never met her. I worked in San Diego at the time, and she never worked for my network at the time. She never did anything I worked at CBS at the time. And by the time I got here, she was already gone. But Ruta tells me, Ruta Lee, that she would love me. So I keep that in mind.
That keeps you going.
When I was a little boy, though, I was visiting California as a teenager, and I asked my brother-in-law if we could go to Lucy's house.
That's what I was going to question you about. When I said, I saw your Facebook, you said you went up, or you didn't have the guts to go up there or knock on the door or something.
But I went to her Roxbury address, and I stood, you know, like a skinny teenager posing in front of the house, almost afraid that she might see me and open the door, but also hoping that she might.
Yeah.
But I have that memory. The house really isn't there like it was once upon a time, but it was just a nice thing to be able to see, because, you know, I grew up in LA and Chicago, but I was in Chicago then. And so to come back and I wouldn't, you know, to have somebody take me there was cool. So, you know, when you think of seeing a movie star or a celebrity, that would have been it. And that street was, you know, Jimmy Stewart lived a couple doors down, and there were a lot of famous people in that just little vicinity. So I could have gotten really lucky.
That would have been, because from what I hear, that did happen a lot, especially with the tour buses, and, you know, people just, and there was no like gates, and, you know, just her door is right there. You could just, and I think when I did speak to Keith Thibodeau, he told me that he was already, you know, married with kids, and they went through LA, and he stopped and he said, maybe she won't recognize me, or, you know, she knocked on the door, and as you can imagine, with your big, you know, robes and glasses and big hair and just arms out. It sounds like you're visiting the Wizard of Oz. And she says she came out and just welcomed him in. I said, well, that's amazing.
I think Lucy must have eaten out a lot, because I've heard from a friend of hers before that, like, she'd come over, we'll play games. She loved games.
Yeah.
And then she'd hand you a drink, but there was never cheese and crackers or grapes or snacks or anything. It was just, here's a drink, let's play.
In an empty fridge.
She couldn't be bothered making food.
I'm here to entertain you. I hope you ate before you got here. Yeah, but and what about Javier Bardem's portrayal of Desi? How did you feel about that?
Well, I wanted to see what he would do with it, because I think, again, here you have another Oscar caliber actor taking on a role, and it's a role he wanted to play for some time. And I know that he had to wait because Aaron Sorkin was trying other people. But as what often happens is, like, they look at Javier and they like him, but they're not quite ready. And then they go through 20 more people, and then they realize we had him all the time.
Yeah.
And he was very serious about getting this right as well, and wanted to, he had somebody actually on Zoom teach him, that's the lessons they could do at the time, because they made it during the pandemic, teaching him how to play the bongos so he would get that right for just a small part of the movie. So again, this commitment level from this cast was incredible. And in the end, I thought he captured the essence of Desi very well as well. You know, I just think he's a really good actor. I think Aaron Sorkin has a knack for knowing how to, like, pick the right kind of chemistry. And you know, those were four strong personalities.
Oh, yes.
The scenes people were strong as well.
And they did show that. And with Vivian's opinions about her wardrobe, her weight, all of that, you know, later on, I think there was an interview with Viv and Lucy where they kind of dispelled that rumor about a contract and, you know, to stay heftier than Lucy because only one glamour girl on the show. And they said, no, that was all, you know, just rumor. But I think what this movie did was show all four of their strong personalities. And if you know nothing about Lucy, let's say you're a stranger to the show and you came and watched this movie, I'm not sure if you come away recognizing that these are people going through a tense time, or did they come away knowing, thinking, wow, how did they make this show successful if everybody was so on edge all the time? And I think that one of the complaints was having all the storylines at once, all three of those. And so, of course, everybody was on edge. How did you feel about all the timelines being together and everyone's personality kind of being on fire through the movie?
Right. Well, I think that it's a movie. So like all movies that are based on true stories, nothing is exact. It just can't be, you know, otherwise that movie would have been 4 hours long. And it was already, you know, the right length, I think. So the timelines weren't exactly accurate. That is true. But it also helped build some of the drama. And overall, the situation with Lucy and Desi's marriage was always an issue for years.
Yes.
So the fact that it was taking place in that week, it could have been taking place probably in almost every other week.
That's true.
Of the show. Because, you know, soon after I Love Lucy was over, their marriage was over as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Sorkin said that the one thing Lucille Ball really wanted more than anything else was just a home.
Yes. And she does mention that quite a bit. When I see her interviews, it's almost like an opening line that she has and speaks. And she was always very protective of Desi, even years. I mean, Gary would be sitting right next to her during a Barbara Walters special, and she was very protective of the image that Desi had. So it was a shame that it wasn't the great love story that we all, you know, hoped it would be because of those same, you know, infidelity rumors and things like that. But they did leave it behind. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, allegedly, Desi Arnaz sent Lucy red and white carnations on what would have been their anniversary, even after their divorce.
Yes.
I think Lucy was very helpful to him in his later years when he didn't have the money that she did. So there was still a love between those two. It was just not a love that could stay in a marriage.
In a marriage. Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think they did, like you said, show all of that, the ugly sides of, you know, behind the scenes, really.
Aaron Sorkin felt like Lucy always wanted that home, and she had beautiful houses.
Yes.
But he felt her home was that set.
Yes.
So that little small set in that living room area became her home.
So she kind of made what she envisioned for her life, even if it was pretend.
Yeah, you got it. And here's a home story for you as well. I knew Jane Withers. Do you remember the actress Jane Withers?
Yes.
Who used to be in Shirley Temple movies as the brat. And in my day, she was Josephine the plumber for a kitchen cleanser. But once upon a time, Jane Withers bought Lucille Ball's home in Chatsworth.
Okay.
And the home, believe it or not, was on Ethel Avenue. And so she was living there for a few months, and she was in the kitchen and she heard something like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And she went out into the living room and there was Lucille Ball. She decided she wanted to see what the house looked like now that she wasn't living there, and she had kept a key.
So just made her way back inside.
And Jane was happy to see her, but Lucy, I think, still wanted a little control of that house, even though she didn't own it anymore.
She's probably like, I don't like what you did with this wall. You may want to fix that table there, but which is also like a Lucy episode where she took back her furniture. Do you have a favorite I Love Lucy episode?
I mean, I think we all have different ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone will tell you off in the grapes or the candy factory, which I love, but I'm Italian. And do you remember Lucy went to Italy and there was a time when she was handing out chocolate bars because it's a my birthday too.
It's a Maya birthday too.
I like that. I like when she got her head stuck in a porthole on the SS Constitution.
Yes.
And at the time, I didn't realize the connection, the SS Constitution. See, this is how life works. Mm-hmm. When my wife and I got married, we went on a Hawaiian cruise, and it was on the SS Constitution. So, and that was also where An Affair to Remember was done. So there was this Lucy connection to me that I didn't even know. And that just happened to be the ship that we picked.
That's amazing. That's really, I love stuff like that.
And I liked some of the episodes when they moved to Connecticut too. They were just fun. You got the chickens all stuck and they were hot. All that.
The tango scene, which has had the longest applause or laughter of the entire series. And they still use that, some of that canned laughter on, you know, sitcoms. Now, the documentary also is coming up next year via Amy Poehler and Ron Howard, which I think was also approved by Lucy Arnaz or part of the whole, you know, part of the movie in this. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know a lot about that. I do know that, you know, for a long time, Lucy didn't say a lot, you know, and Desi Jr. keeps pretty quiet too.
Yes.
But I'm guessing that at this stage of their lives, they are constantly asked about their mother. Mm-hmm. And now with this movie and the documentary that's going to be coming out, I think it will help stop like somebody saying something about Lucille Ball every time they go out in public, because more people will know about her.
Yeah, much more informed. Yeah.
Ron Howard is he's a really classy director. And I'm sure that Ron Howard knew Lucy when he was a little boy doing the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yes. So, friends with Keith, as we mentioned, because they both did the Andy Griffith Show as well. I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm sure that it will be handled with love, because he wouldn't have taken on the project if he didn't have some interest and respect and admiration for this woman, you know, that he admired when he was just a little boy.
That's going to be fascinating, because I think there was a lot of footage that was perhaps given by the Arnaz family to them. And I think there's probably some stuff we haven't seen. So I love coming across Lucy images and videos that I haven't seen, because, you know, they've been hidden or just not, you know, seen lately, but I do love that. But I'm excited. Thank you so much. I love that we were able to chat about all things Lucy. I could do this for another 2 hours if you have the time.
You know, I didn't really ask you what your first recollection of Lucy was.
Well, with me, I was perhaps, you know, growing up in a Hispanic household, we're not exactly always watching I Love Lucy. So when I did, I had a television that I would watch underneath my bed, and I was maybe 5 years old. And from there on, again, as a child, you're not really appreciating the backstage of it all. You're watching a funny lady be funny, make funny faces. So that attracted me. But as I got older, I loved who this woman was. It wasn't really the show. It was Lucille Ball and the way she ran that studio or ran those shows. And when I started seeing behind the scenes, you know, autobiographies, biographies, interviews with the head writers and everyone involved, she just captivated me, because she was just stern and brass and someone to admire.
So here's the question I have for you on that subject of just doing this show. So imaginative this show was, that it was in black and white, but why is it everybody understood when they'd say that wacky redhead? It was a black and white show. Her hair could have been really any color, but we all envisioned it as that red color.
Yes. Somehow it comes across, doesn't it? Because even when you watch the colorized Christmas, it kind of throws you off, because you want to keep watching the black and white, because that's where your mind is accustomed to that. But it does throw you off a little bit. But you're right. When I'm watching black and white, I'm seeing a redhead. And I don't know what it is.
Now, here's another question for you. Have you ever had an animal with a Lucy connected name?
So funny you say that. My dog, my 3-year-old dog, is Desi. So yes, very much. And I have another dog, but it's a boy. And of course, if it was a girl, it'd be Lucy. But my dog, my 3-year-old Bichon, is named Desi.
Well, my wife and I have rescued greyhounds for over 20 years, 25 years or so. And the first one we got was named Bronco, and he was 8. So we took in this senior, and so we left his name as Bronco. The second one we adopted, she was young, but her name was Deja Vu, off the track. And I thought, I do not want to be calling Deja Vu. Like, it sounded weird. So we thought, what can we name it? My wife called me at work one day at Channel 7 and said, I know what we can do. It sounds like deja vu. She's Desi Lou. So our second dog was Desi Lou.
Yes.
The third one that we rescued came and his name was Billy. And we always thought of that as William Frawley.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
So it was just the name he was given. So we, you know, we called him Billy. The fourth one we got, her name came from, like, it was a litter of greyhounds and they were all named after instruments. And her name was Violin. And we just changed a letter or two and she became Vivian.
Yeah. So
we've had a little bit of Lucy in our pet
life. I love that.
Let's do that.
Yeah. That's funny you asked that though, because whenever I introduce my dog, I say Desi, as in Desi Arnaz, just in case you're not aware. But you know what I did want to mention was, because you know, you see I have these things back here. I have some boxes and VHSs and things like that in the garage. Is why in the world, maybe you know, did they close down that Universal Studio Lucy store thing? It was my favorite ride, really.
I don't know the answer to that question, but
yeah.
When I was a kid, we went on a Universal Studios tour like in seventh or eighth grade, and they took you to Lucy's dressing room. That was on the tour.
Yeah, so they did have kind of the Universal lot, they would have the bungalow with Lucy's name.
Do they still do that? I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. I think the last time I went was 10 years, maybe perhaps, but I just know that the store, the kind of, mm-hmm. you know, display museum type thing is gone, because I did buy a few things there and I wondered what happened to it. Maybe everything went to Jamestown.
But the person that might know the answer to that is a woman named Suzanne LaRouche, who used to play Lucille Ball at Universal Studios and did a one-woman stage show as Lucy Ricardo. And she'd be a good guest for your podcast too.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, tomorrow, we're actually speaking for a second time, someone who does a cross-country long, long trailer type show. Wow. And she plays, her name's Carrie, and they have, it's called the Not So Technicolor Life, or no, I'm sorry, Our Technicolor Life. And she and her husband do the vaudeville act that Lucy and Desi did. And they take it on the road. They have an actual long, long trailer that they take across and make look exactly like the movie. It's fantastic. But it's fascinating when these people are, you know, impersonators and make a living that way, because it's Lucy. You don't see it very much about, like you said, with other actors and other celebrities.
Yeah. This was fun.
This is really good. Like I said, I could go on hours and hours, but thank you so much for letting me bug you via email and Facebook. But you know, I'm glad that you were able to come on.
Well, I hope people go see Being the Ricardos.
Yes.
And then want to see more of I Love Lucy if they haven't yet. I think this is just another generational thing. So
you know,
I'll keep watching my I Love Lucy. I don't know. You know, we both have, I'm sure, every DVD in the garage. In a box.
In fact, I was just looking. I have these. I don't know if you can see it, but it's the Smithsonian Legendary Performers, the Best of Old Time Radio, and it's all the My Favorite Husband on CD.
Wow.
So yeah, including their commercials and the Jell-O commercials and all of that. So that's always fun. And so, but thank you so much. And you guys need to go to the is it ABC 7 at. George ABC 7?
ABC 7 George on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, you see all the Lucy goodies.
I'm George Pinocchio on Twitter and Instagram at ABC 7 George.
But, awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much, George. This is fun.
Thank you for having me. It's
been a pleasure. Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.